Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
The reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line to our visit with James Marillac going about as I expected. You guys should start calling James Chicken Little. What color is the sky in his world? Jeez. One thing I despise about James is he calls for every head coach to be fired and has for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then doesn't have the onions to stand behind it. It's never about the players. Guess that's why he lives in Russ's shorts. the only way Malone gets fired during the Jokic era is if he does an Urban Meyer. Yeah, once you have the endorsement of Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're pretty safe. Now, Bedsy, actually, that makes more sense. Knowing how the National Hockey League operates, I mean, they have another disappointing first-round boot out. So if they face Winnipeg and Winnipeg gets them, you know, in five games or something.
Well, in any number of games, doesn't matter. Five, six, or seven, it doesn't matter.
First round exit, you think he gets fired?
First round exit. Yeah, I think it's a conversation to have. Now, I won't put it on Bednar. You and I have had this conversation. I have not liked the performance of the front office for a couple of years now. And by the way, the front office has agreed with me by their actions. So they win the cup. The next year they come out with a new-look supporting cast for that year's team. There's no Naz anymore. Right. There's no Gabe, right? So they come out with a new supporting cast. They get bounced in the first round by Seattle. They overturn that entire supporting cast, which is their first admission that they didn't do a good job building the team after winning the Stanley Cup. So then they come into this year with a brand new supporting cast. They think so much of this supporting cast that they blow it up and make a bunch of moves at the trade deadline, which is their second admission that they didn't do a good job with a supporting cast. If they thought they had done a good job with the supporting cast, wouldn't they have left the players in place and blamed Bednar?
Correct.
But no. They changed the supporting cast twice. So if they have another early round exit this year, after twice admitting they were wrong with the construction of their team, you got to put most of the blame on the front office.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask me too.
Because you have an award-winning hockey podcast.
Yes.
So you're my go-to source.
Okay.
If you were handicapping goaltending in the Western Conference, where would Gorgiev come in? Of all the playoff teams.
There was an interesting stat that I saw about him that I thought said a lot. So, Alexander Georgiev is first in the NHL in wins.
Okay.
Guess where he ranks in goals against average?
12th.
Keep going. Now, by the way, there are 30 teams in hockey.
Right. 15th.
Keep going.
17th.
Keep going.
21st.
Keep going.
28th.
Keep going.
29th.
Keep going.
30th.
Keep going. These are qualified goalies. He's not even... Go ahead.
38th.
34th in goals against average. Where's his save percentage?
What's the... Where does he rank?
Yeah.
Save percentage-wise? 25th.
Keep going.
34th.
Keep going.
40th.
37th.
Wow.
So he's first in wins... But he's 34th in goals against and 37th in save percentage?
Right. What does that tell you?
What does that tell you? His team is carrying him.
Yeah.
And I'm not, because if you've been listening to Bednar through the second half of the season, he on more than one occasion has said he is not at all happy with the defense, playing within the system, the discipline. There have been too many mistakes. So he's acknowledged that. But he's also said, you know, I still need the goaltending to be better. And I think after last night's game, the loss to the Vegas Knights was perfect. This is his take on the team right now and the goaltending situation.
I thought he played a good hockey game, but, like, he's got to come up with a save, you know? Like, he has to come up with a save on if we have a breakdown, penalty kill, and to come up with a big save for the guys, you know? And you know, they hit a couple posts and they scored some goals, you know? Like, we're going to need a big save from time to time in order to win hockey games, especially ones like that.
So it's the Zach Bye, two things can be true at the same time. Bednar's come out saying, we got to be better defensively. We're too leaky defensively. And I'm not expecting Georgiev to make up for all of our breakdowns, okay? All of our mistakes. But I need him to make up for more than he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the situation.
I just feel like he needs some good, hard love. Some good, hard Alex Gibbs coaching.
Do you, your view, as a former professional athlete, how would you define goaltenders mentally?
Probably like kickers.
Tough job. A lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of, they got to be mentally tough. But yet, if things aren't going well, you got to kind of mumma cat them, don't you?
Yeah, probably. It's probably why I don't necessarily like them.
So if you're saying goalies kind of remind you of kickers, play a very important role.
Correct.
The best of the best are incredibly mentally tough. But you'd also admit that a lot of them are kind of quirky. And their confidence is kind of shaky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you got to nurture it. You got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does a guy like Georgiev strike you as somebody that you can give him tough love?
It's a great question. I mean, probably not. Which would make me want to get rid of him.
And maybe after this season you do.
Yeah.
But right now you're stuck with him. And you're stuck with a guy in Justus Onanen that everybody likes and everybody thinks he's a nice prospect. Guy doesn't have a whole lot of experience in the NHL.
No. Plus, they made a classic mistake by calling him Justus. Should have been Justice on him. If you'd have just come out and said, no, it's pronounced Justice.
Justice, as in dispensing justice between the pipes.
That's right. It's what I do every time I'm between the pipes.
Right. I dispense justice.
Justice
on. Not as easy to say, I dispense Justice.
Yeah. And then you would just call him, then his nickname would become the judge. The judge between the pipes.
Right.
That would have been, he missed an opportunity.
But see, here's, and I get where people are saying, hey, just put Onanen in now. He's got to be the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is that if you go to Onanen, who has played a grand total of 17 games in his entire career.
Okay.
No playoff games. So if you decide, hey, we just can't trust Gorgie, we're fed up with Gorgie, let's just put Onanen between the pipes to start the playoffs. How are you confident that Georgiev will respond the right way to that? And if Onanen struggles and you call on Georgiev, are you confident that Georgiev is going to come out there pissed off, I'm going to show you, and just be awesome? Or is he going to be so crushed confidence-wise by the fact that he got benched for the playoffs that if you turn to him, the guy's useless?
Well, I would tell you Mama Canada hasn't worked. Has it? I mean, Bednar just comes out and says, oh, he was really good, except, you know, if he could just, you know, turn away some of the So has that worked? And my answer to you is no, it hasn't worked. So if that doesn't work, and you've proven that it doesn't work, why not go the opposite?
I like what this texter said. There's nothing that's wrong with Georgiev that can't be fixed with more water.
Great point. That is a great point.
Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. It's back, and this time we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. What you get is two tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Plus, we'll throw in two nights hotel and $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Now, if you did sign up for our Fan Flyaway to Vegas in February, you're already signed up, so you don't have to worry about it. Once you sign up, you're entered in all future Flyaway contests. So if you haven't done it yet, get to denversports.com/thefanflyaway and good luck. Coming up next, we take a glorious look back with some of the highlights and reaction and hockey karma from the DU Pioneers national championship run. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hating, say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it.
Kind of like the lamp brought to you by Papa Murphy's.
Now I'm jumping out of Bentley.
Some of my reaction to our Avalanche conversation. Georgiev is already useless. So what do the Avs have to lose? What do the Avs have to lose? He'll be more useless. My point is that when they won the cup, the Avs goaltending was not good when they won the cup.
No, but I had a lot more confidence in Frankie going into the playoffs than I did Kemper.
But yeah, Kemper, once he got done with his eye calisthenics,
mm-hmm.
he had some nice moments in the Stanley Cup Finals. My point is that the two of them, Darcy Kemper wasn't great, but he never got the sense that he was crumbling from the pressure. And Frankie was a great backup who understood his role. But when he was in there, it wasn't like Kemper crumbled. The problem is that I'm not so sure. First of all, Onanen is not Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have nearly the same trust in Onanen that I did in Frankie. And secondly, if you go to Onanen, I don't trust Georgiev to handle it as well mentally as I think Darcy Kemper did. Either way, the Avalanche won a Stanley Cup with subpar goaltending. They just did. Their goaltending that year statistically was among the worst goaltending of a Stanley Cup champion ever by the numbers. And they found a way to get it done. So as you're looking ahead to this playoff run, yeah, you're not happy with Georgiev. You don't know what you have in Onanen, but you already proved you could win a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago with suspect goaltending. Does this team have the ability to rise above that kind of goaltending again this year? It's the great question.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
I agree with you.
I don't think it does. And I really don't care how Georgiev feels. Like, you know, this is a production business. I don't care how he feels.
It's also a confidence business.
Well, I mean,
you could say you just compared him to NFL kickers. You can say all you want. Hey, come on, kicker. Get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But you know well enough with your experience with kickers, and we've all seen it, if you put too much pressure on a kicker, maybe they don't handle it, and they shank it even more. I know you hate the fact that you got to mama cat these guys.
I do. He's not playing well. He has he hasn't been playing well for a while, and I frankly would rather see Bedsy come out and blast him.
So what you're getting a lot of after the unbelievable performance of this guy.
Smith in front. Throw. Oh, my God! What was that? Wow. Davis is out of his mind.
The goalie for DU. Undrafted. Folks are like, hey.
What's he doing?
Go out and go sign this guy and put it between the pipes. He just came off a championship run where in four games he made 149 out of 152 saves. Why not? David Carl, the coach of the Pios.
Yeah, he's lights out on it from the first puck drop. I thought he was seeing pucks through traffic, getting whistles when we needed them. Was really tight and clean to his posts on a lot of different plays, and obviously what can you say about the save on Leonard on the power play? So it was excellent.
I just wrote something down.
That'd be so hockey, wouldn't it? You know, remember when Cale Makar got done playing in college, goes right from college, mm-hmm. like a couple days later,
yeah,
signs up with the Avs, he's out there playing and playing well. You could do that. You could do that in hockey.
They've got one game, right? You could start him.
They don't play till Thursday.
You know what?
Sign him. Get him in there between the pipes. See if he can keep the role going.
I tell you one thing. He's a tight and clean to the post.
Tight and clean to the post. You are
tight
gonna,
and
that
clean.
Is going. I saw you writing that down.
Tight and clean to the post,
folks. Rogue, keep track of this during the Az playoff run. How many times?
Oh,
Mark uses tight. And clean to the post, or he wasn't tight and clean to the posts.
He got a little loose to the post, so you can change, you can vary.
Yes, your, right.
I'll tell you the other thing that you.
He was a little muddy getting over to the post.
Right. You know what you would. Yeah, dirty. He was dirty getting over to the post.
A little dirty, a little muddy.
You know what else you could do if you're the Avs? If you sign Matt Davis, how much does your water budget go down? Like that guy didn't even take a sip. Except between periods, he took no sips.
Going through a lot of water.
We're going through those seven. I mean, Georgiev probably was waterlogged after giving up seven. Well, he didn't give up seven because Onanen came up and gave up three, right? But you had the most hydrated goalies in the National Hockey League after that last game against Winnipeg.
Oh, boy.
Those guys just strapped themselves to a urinal and took a nap.
Mike, to your point about the supporting cast, we still have no excuses. Most teams don't roll out arguably multiple top 10 players at their position. Taves, supposedly top 10 defenseman. Makar, top two. MacKinnon, top two player overall. Mikko, top five winger. Val, top 10. Two-way player. No excuses. Yeah, their core, I'll put their core up against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't basketball where you can keep your core players out there for 48-minute game.
They legitimately have the worst goaltending situation going into the playoffs.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know about the worst, but...
Who has it worse than them?
I'd have to go back and look at all the teams that make the playoffs, but...
You think anybody else has got the 37th ranked goals against in the playoffs right now? Because Onanen can't be far behind or far ahead.
Well, they got one more game against Edmonton. And then the playoffs start. And it looks like it'll start in Winnipeg. But to that texter's last point, and I'm glad that texter popped up, because for all the concern over the Avs, and for all the, oh, no, the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm.
You still have a team that features MacKinnon, Makar, Rantanen, Nichushkin, Taves. I'll take my chances with that group. I'll take my chances.
Mm-hmm. And that's no cap.
I'll take my chances. You know, I don't think there's any team out there that's saying, bring on the Avs. We want the Avs. Because of those guys.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a matter of, if you trust those guys to play like the great players they are every night in the playoffs, then you know what? Now all of a sudden you're looking at the rest of the guys, just help out a little bit. You don't need to do a lot. You don't have to be major impact players. Just assist. Give us a little help. Give us a little bit here and there. We don't need a ton. Just give us a little bit and let our big boys do the heavy lifting.
If the Avs can go into this thing and say, hey, we're going to lean on McCarr. We're going to lean on McKinnon, Rantanen, Lehkonen, Val, Toews. We're going to lean on you guys. Then all we have is our goaltender be tight and clean between the pipes.
Bang! Boom! And that is why we light the lamp, brought to you by Papa Murphy's, home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Friday. That's all you're going to be looking for now.
Tight and clean to the post.
Tight and clean to the post. There you go. Up next, what's trending? A very interesting take from a guy who just won the Masters, the pinnacle of golf, for the second time in 3 years. Might surprise you. Next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Nugget season is in the books. 57 wins. Tied. The franchise record. They go in as the number two seed. And overall, Michael Malone's satisfied with the regular season.
I think, obviously, not being satisfied with last year. You know, tying a franchise record. You know, it's so unfortunate that we didn't break the record. We had a chance to, but you know, to tie the franchise record for wins in a season is outstanding, and especially on the heels of winning a championship. And you know, that's been the mantra all year long, is not being satisfied, staying hungry, and pushing yourself individually and collectively to be the best team that we can be.
As somebody who knows the trials and tribulations that go along with trying to defend a title, how do you think the Nuggets handled it this year?
Oh, I think they were, I think they were awesome. I mean, sure, would you like to see them win 60? Yes. Could they have? Probably. But, you know, they played it safe down the stretch, tried to keep Jamal healthy, lost some games down the stretch they probably shouldn't have lost, certainly shouldn't have lost to San Antonio after building that big lead. But I also understand their goal was not necessarily the number one seed, or their goal wasn't necessarily to set a franchise record. Their goal is to defend their championship. And so when your goal is that, right, then you start looking at some of those other things that you could accomplish along the way and say, okay, but at what cost? And so I think they managed it. I think they managed it well. And again, I don't see anybody in the West beating them four games total.
Alexander Rakic is a light heavyweight, UFC light heavyweight. And he was fighting this weekend. And prior to the fight, for some reason, the Larry O'Brien championship trophy was in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a chance to hold it. And he was genuinely pumped to hold it because of his hero.
Tell me, who does this trophy remind you of?
Nikola Jokic, 3 times MVP from Serbia. This guy is unbelievable. His passes, his eyes are everywhere. He changed the sport, in my opinion. He's from Serbia, from the same country as me. I feel very honored to hold one of these. All sweaty now because I'm very nervous to hold this. It's like a UFC belt. A dream came true.
I don't think I've ever.
He already gave him the third MVP, by the way.
He did? Well, I've already given it to him as well.
Yeah, I mean, he knows his stuff. Serbia, great country pride.
Sure. We saw same thing with Djokovic, the tennis player.
Oh.
Had the same reaction being around Jokic. By the way, for any concern that with SGA and Oklahoma City finishing ahead of the Nuggets, and whether or not that'll have some sort of bearing on the MVP award. Remember Stephen A. coming out and saying, you know, hey, if whoever the best team is should have the chance to be the MVP. Nikola Jokic is far and away, the leading favorite for the MVP.
He's stat batting, it's easy, you know.
He won't be unanimous, though.
He probably won't be unanimous, but I looked at it, and this was after the loss to San Antonio, so I was a little bit curious as to whether or not anything had happened. You know, people get a little weird about this thing. So the morning after they lost to San Antonio, Jokic was minus 7,000 to win the MVP. Means you have to bet $7,000 to win 100. Next up was Luka Doncic at plus 3,000.
Bet 100 to get 3,000.
Right. It's over. And I mean, unless these guys are completely wrong, and Vegas odds makers don't tend to be that wrong. Not for something that difference. You minus 7,000, Jokic.
Right. So if you
the next closest is plus 3,000.
If you laid down $1 million, how much would you get?
On who? Jokic?
If you laid down $1 million.
At minus 7,000?
Uh-huh. How much would you get when he wins it?
Oh, I'm not trying to do the math right now. John, you want to do that for us? If you bet $1 million on Jokic at minus 7,000, what does that win you? Still going to win a lot of money.
I mean, it's, right?
No,
into a million.
No. God, please, no.
Let's do this.
No. We were doing so well. Anyway, I'm just going to keep going while you do this.
Mad.
Nick Saban hanging out at the Masters. Talking with Laura Rutledge of ESPN about how retirement's going.
I found out that if I do my chores, then I can go play golf. So I get up early and get my chores done, and then it's like, now do I have a free pass to go do what I want to do?
What are your chores? What do you have to do?
I make my bed.
Okay, good.
I take the garbage out.
Wow.
I have to wait for her to eat together. And I have to leave a little food just because that's polite to tell people that you really thought it was good.
Yeah.
Which I grew up cleaning my plate, so that's not
me
kosher
too.
Anymore.
I didn't know that. Is that the way that... I thought it always was
leave
that...
Leave a little food?
Leave a little food. I thought that you showed your appreciation for the cook.
Right, by ripping a big burp.
After all of your food.
Right, and then...
Right. Oh, my God, that was tasty.
By the way...
Oh, I can't eat another bite.
I came up with... Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
$14,285 and change. If you bet $1 million... At 7,000 to 1,
you only win 14,000.
You only win 14,000.
Okay,
does that sound right?
Okay,
terrible. 14,285 is what I came up with.
Okay. All right. So to make it easy, at minus 7,000. So in order to win $1 million, you'd have to bet $7 million. Is that right? Does that sound about right? Sounds about right.
I don't know. I haven't done
what I'm saying is you're saying if you bet $1 million on Nikola Jokic to win the MVP at minus 7,000, you're winning $14,000.
That's what I came up with.
Well, that should tell you how much of a lead pipe cinch Jokic is to win the MVP.
I've got some people saying 1,428, and other people saying 14.
It's gotta be 14.
It's gotta be 14, gotta right? Be.
Scottie Scheffler is the Masters champion for the second time in 3 years. He's on top of the golf world. He's making it look easy. You probably think he's having the time of his life right now. You would be wrong.
How much do you struggle with just the idea of discontentment, of needing, whether it's more wins, more money, more fame, to be satisfied? And do you find yourself most content?
Gosh, that's a good question. I feel like playing professional golf is an endlessly not satisfying career. For instance, in my head, all I can think about right now is getting home. I'm not thinking about the tournament. I'm not thinking about the green jacket. I'm trying to answer your questions. I'm trying to get home. I wish I could soak this in a little bit more. Maybe I will tonight when I get home. But at the end of the day, I think that's what the human heart does. You always want more. And I think you got to fight those things and focus on what's good. because, like I said, winning this golf tournament does not change my identity. My identity is secure, and I cannot emphasize that enough.
This dude is Nikola Jokic. This guy's the Nikola Jokic. He's like, oh, man, I got to get home.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to go home. Mike, somebody said to win a million, you got to bet 70 million.
Seriously?
Not seven.
Excuse me. All right, then. That again, if you got to bet 70 million to win a million.
Right.
That shows you Nikola Jokic is a. It's over, folks. It's over. Game over, man.
Game over.
Scottie Scheffler's Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. It's okay. I love it. Mark, your math is actually correct. I cannot believe
the
it.
The 14,000 one?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody was just like, everybody is baffled.
Well,
I actually did the math.
Mark, let's be honest. You set the bar very, very low.
That's how I do it.
That's how you do it. That is What is Trending. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30 and 9:30. What is next for the Nuggets? Well, first up, it's the Pelicans and the Lakers. Who do you want to see the Nuggets play in the playoffs? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Time to hit the hardwood, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Nuggets wrapping up their season yesterday. So now we wait. The dreaded play-in tournament. Try to make this as simple as possible here for you, okay? And we'll just limit it to the West so we don't have to extrapolate too much here. So the four teams in the play-in tournament are New Orleans, the Lakers, Sacramento, Golden State. New Orleans and L.A. will play tomorrow in the Big Easy. The winner of that game gets the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs beginning Saturday. The loser will host the winner of the 9-10 game, Sacramento and Golden State. That game coming up in Sacramento. So that leads to the question. As a Nugget fan, who would you rather see the Nuggets play in the first round? The Lakers or the Pelicans? It's been the subject of a Twitter X poll throughout the course of the morning. And we got over 550 votes. 56% saying the Lakers, 44% saying the Pelicans. Do those results surprise you at all?
What was the percentage again? Lakers?
56-44. 56% would like to see the Lakers.
The Lakers.
44, the Pels.
I would think it would be a little higher, Lakers. Not only based upon, you know, all the Laker phonies that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. But also, just, if you play the Pelicans, you'll never hear about that series. That's like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that will get zero coverage. But LeBron and AD, if he's, you know, available, if he gets out of the ICU, then he go in the ICU the other day.
Yeah, he did something else again, yeah.
Yeah. So.
This after missing a game earlier in the week with a headache. I'm sure it was a debilitating migraine.
What?
TD style.
Okay. All right. And a migraine? Creep up on him?
Well, as far as I heard, it was just a headache.
Just a headache.
Yeah.
He's tired.
Have you guys heard the theory that's being floated around for the Lakers to maybe not take the Pelicans game as seriously?
Yes.
So that they lose? And then they play the second game, and then they'd be on the opposite.
I would want, if I'm the Lakers, I want nothing to do with the Nuggets. I want nothing to do with the Nuggets.
You got no answer for the Nugs. Zero.
Zero. And I would rather lose the game to the Pelicans and
take my chances on the other side of the bracket.
And take my chances that I'll go home, host the winner of the Golden State Sacramento game, and take my chances with that rather than playing the Nuggets and getting beat by the Nuggets again.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I could definitely see them doing that. I could definitely see them saying, hey, we're going to hold you out, AD. You had a headache. It was a bad one. We were all out of Excedrin. There was nothing we could do. There was no Advil.
There was an Excedrin shortage?
Yes.
In New Orleans?
Yes. I'm just going to keep you in a dark room, rest for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Get you ready for the Warriors. Or Sacramento.
They got two chances. The 7 and 8 teams have two chances to win one game. But I want the Lakers.
I want the Lakers. I'm surprised it was only 56-44.
I
thought it'd be 70-30.
So did I. I was a little bit surprised at that because bring them on. Bring on the Lakers because not only am I confident the Nuggets beat them, but you get all the attention that goes with playing and beating the Lakers.
And then all the excuse making afterwards, right.
And, you know, the slanted whistle, the free throw disparity, and you still beat them. Oh, it'd be so sweet. Playing the Pelicans, like put it this way, the Nuggets are going to play on Saturday, right? If they're playing the Lakers, they're in a marquee slot.
Correct.
They're probably in the, let's see, they're probably in the 1:30 or like 5:30 window.
I think they'd be in that evening window where they're hitting.
And I'm giving the mountain times. 1:30 mountain time, 5:30 mountain time.
Yeah, where they're getting the East Coast audience plus the late afternoon crowd for the Lakers.
Right. If they play the Pelicans, that's 8:30 our time. Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that way the East Coasters don't have to watch. They just turn off their TVs.
Well, because you know what the networks will be. They'll be like, we got Denver, New Orleans. Two small to mid markets. Bury them. But you put the Lakers, got to get them on national television. You got to get them in a good window, and then the Nuggets beat them. That's what I'm rooting for.
Then we go live to Windhorse, and he's got to wipe the tears out
of
his eyes.
And then I could just see the excuse making, the tears, the crying, the, you know, Stephen A. like eviscerating Anthony Davis. You know, it'd be just great.
So Anthony Davis missed a game because he had a headache.
I'm 99% positive. I'm pretty sure.
There are so many things I'd like to say, but I would get fired.
I'm checking real quick.
Okay. Yeah.
Davis missed most of the Lakers' past two games, losses to the Timberwolves and Warriors after getting hit in the face in the first quarter and dealing with a headache and nausea.
That's tough. I don't know. You know, sometimes, it'll be
sometimes
great.
I just wish we had a camera that could just zoom in on like Mark's face when I say some of these things to him.
It'll be the greatest podcast in the world.
What's that?
Getting AD and Chris Bryant.
Oh, God.
Just to tell war stories about toughness.
Toughness. I remember that game I played with.
Yes.
I played through.
Right. So this one night at the Ritz, we were having a pillow fight, and I got hit in the head with a pillow really hard. I thought I was going to die.
I missed a week. Papa Murphy's Home of Take and Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Oh, man. Wow. Yeah, Chris Bryant, by the way, came out of the game Saturday against the Rockies. I mean, against... This is how little I care about the Rockies. It's so bad. It is so bad. The only time we've mentioned the Rockies today was just to mention that Chris Bryant left the game on Saturday with, stop me if you've heard this before, a bad back stiffness.
Oh, yeah.
And then he missed yesterday's game as well.
It's tough.
Odds that he ends up on the DL.
Wow.
Where would you place the odds that he ends up on a DL? Or is he just, does he stay day to day, or does he go on the DL?
On this one, or?
Just this one.
They're about ready to face the Phillies. Nola's pitching today, so he'll be out today. I would say the odds are 100% that he will find the DL at some point, but I think he avoids the DL this time.
Really?
Yeah, I think he just, he sucks it up.
Sucks it up, battles through.
Just, yeah.
By the way, so much great stuff came out of the DU Pioneers winning the national championship. A couple of great audio bites. First of all, this was, is it Cutter Gauthier? For Boston College, was a very highly touted player. In fact, I think he was the 7th overall pick by Anaheim. He just signed with Anaheim after losing. But he was interviewed before the DU game.
It's going to be epic. There's going to be a lot of emotions, and a lot of tears for that team over there. So we're happy and we're excited to get after it.
Oh, ooh. How'd that taste?
Yeah.
Oof. Freezing cold takes right there.
And
right.
How was it?
Yeah, that's great.
Nicely done. And then after the Pioneers won, I hope I pronounced this guy's name right. Ziv Buium? Huh? What? You say it. Ziv Buium. Ziv Buium was interviewed on the ice, live. And you know what can happen with these college kids.
Unbelievable. So it's great. I mean, it's what we go for. It's why you come to Denver. You want to win championships, you come here, and there's no better feel, especially with my brother. I'm so happy right now.
He goes, effing oops, bleep, sorry. He said, here you go. He starts it off, and then he apologizes for saying the original swear word with a second swear word.
Unbelievable. So it's great. I mean, it's what we go for. It's why you come to Denver. You want to win championships, you come here, and there's no better feel, especially with my brother. I'm so happy right now.
I tell you what, though, your ability to just march on, that's a high boo rating.
That's a high boo rating.
Right. You just throw an F-bomb and an S-bomb in there, and then you go, oh, well,
kids just keep balls, on. Man.
Yeah, I'll just keep on marching.
Yeah.
And you apologized.
Real quick, got to fit in. Orioles.
First
pitch, 4:35 today. Start a homestand with the Twins.
Well, yes, and the team that we adopted, the Baltimore Orioles, Matt Holliday's kid, after a slow start, he's on the board.
And Holliday through the right side. There it is. The first of many. Jackson Holliday with his first major league hit. And it comes in a major moment.
So congratulations to Matt Holliday for his son, but also congratulations to us because that's our team. That is our team, the O's. Hey, the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. Fan Flyaway back, and this time sending you, perhaps, and a guest to a road game for the Pro Hoops Championships coming up in June. Yeah, you know what I'd like to call him, but I can't, apparently. Here's what you get. 2 tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for 2 from Denver to a destination to be determined. 2 nights hotel, $500 cash, maybe a trip to Boston. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered the Fan Flyaway contest in February to Vegas, good news, you're already signed up. We took care of that. Once you sign up once, you're in all the future Flyaway contests. So good luck, Dover and Stoke, coming up next.